George and I have been together for about 2 years now. When you go through a year of radio during a pandemic and no sports or half a year, you learn a lot more about each other.
Facts.
There are things that I know that bring happiness to you. The sight of Aaron Rodgers working out today in Green Bay with his teammates in an actual training camp. You may be fully Packard. I'm not going to go any further than that, but I'm just going to guess, along with all other Packer fans.
Having a great day.
Yes. Who is not having a great day is the GM.
Oh, yeah, no.
He probably should not answer questions anymore.
Mm-mm.
Matt LaFleur actually is coming off really good during this situation. When will Aaron Rodgers speak? Is that coming up quick? Is that coming up soon here?
Hopefully today. Get it out of the way. Break your silence.
Do you think he's prepared?
I hope so. You had all summer not do. Anyway. I hope he's got something prepared. Had all the time in the world, Gary.
We're going to shift the football here in just a moment. Again, Scott Chandler's coming up 11:30. We have the mailbag at noon, Parker Gabriel at 1:30. The offseason for basketball, and now we're just talking about 3-on-3, the tournament. Workouts are going on. Creighton had a couple of their young players playing in the FIBA under-19. Basketball is becoming a year-round sport, especially at the college level. Nebraska basketball has been pretty prominent this offseason. They had 2 weeks of media availability. We've seen more activity on their social media channels. Fred Hoiberg has been out and about. I've seen him at more speaking engagements than I can recall a head men's basketball coach being at in a while. You know, Tim Miles at the beginning of his career, he was everywhere. Later in his time at Nebraska, he didn't see him out as much. But Hoiberg, I think, is taking advantage of every request for him to go speak. He's out there selling his program. And the vibe with Nebraska basketball, one with the upgrade in talent, is a lot different than it has been in a while. And listening to the second week of media availability, Robin Washett touched on this a little bit yesterday, the vibe, the talk about chemistry. And then you put a microphone in front of somebody who was here last year, Kobe Webster, and he talks about if we communicate and the chemistry gets better, we've got the talent. It's not going to be a talent issue. We're talking about a basketball program in Lincoln, 14-45 in the first 2 years of Fred Hoiberg. But if we put a poll question up on the Gary Sharp Show page, who are you more optimistic this year in achieving their goals, the team that plays indoors or outdoors in Lincoln? I'm going to predict that it would be the team that is playing indoor. This is the mindset of the Nebraska basketball fan. Just longing to wrap their arms and their money and their heart and their soul around good basketball. Consistently good, exciting, successful basketball. It's also a fan base, and I've said this numerous times because I've been a part of it, is you just set yourself up to just get whacked. Like you build yourself up and then it's just soul crushing. But there's something different about this year. There's not the drama of Teddy Allen around. The talent is better, but it's still a bunch of new guys blended in with some older guys that have maybe been here for a cup of coffee that still are part of a 2-year run where you've been 14-45. Don't drink the Kool-Aid. Don't drink the Kool-Aid. Don't drink the Kool-Aid. But man, has the optimism for Nebraska basketball, it hasn't been like this in a few years. Again, we're talking about a program that is 14-45. I think the head coach and moves that he made in the offseason with his staff, the aggressiveness in putting together a roster, and the aggressiveness of trying to continue to build that roster with either commitments that you've gotten or offers that you have made or people you've had on campus. It's kind of amazing to not have success on the floor, but to have a really good vibe going into year number 3. And maybe it comes down to chemistry, and if guys are, if they get along, if they can last a whole season together, if they can figure out who gets the ball at the end of the game. I'm not talking about the U.S. men's basketball team, which some of those are issues that we've seen. We're talking about Nebraska basketball. How are they going to break your heart this year? It's the life of a Nebraska basketball fan. You get excited, and I think there's a reason to be excited about this team. I don't think it's an NCAA team, but it has to be a team that when you get to Valentine's Day is being mentioned as a potential NCAA team. You still got history and you've got plenty of teams you got to climb over in your own conference, but the vibe is different. The vibe doesn't feel like a one and done or catch lightning in a bottle. This may be the vibe that we've identified the problems and we've fixed them and we're moving forward. Trust me, but then I'm going to show you, or I'm going to let the players show you. But it's just natural for a Nebraska basketball fan to say, okay, I'm in, but how are you going to break my heart? The vibe is definitely different, and it starts with the highest-ranked player ever in the program who's got a personality and seems like he's been here for a long time in Bryce McGowan's. George, remind me in November. Don't do it. Don't do it. You go. You win eight games, and that's what they have to win in the non-con.
Uh-huh.
You're gonna don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Wait till February 1. Wait till February 1. It's encouraging. You. It's encouraging, and it's kind of amazing. It's the difference, and maybe the magnitude of the sport in Lincoln, of the general opinion about where both programs are going at this point, and both have been nowhere near where you thought they were going to be or they need to be in year three for the outdoor sport and through 2 years of the indoor sport. All right, 11:10, Scott Chandling is going to join us at the bottom of the hour. Yes, camp is open across the NFL. Hey, guys are in shorts and jerseys and helmets, and they're running around and they're throwing passes and they're catching passes and they're doing drills. With what we had last year, I'm all for this. Aaron Rodgers is going to speak here in a little bit. He's going to speak in a little bit. Minnesota football is not happy with Scott Frost. Minnesota football has gone 2-1 against Nebraska. They got a 2-game winning streak. The first win ever for Scott Frost was over Minnesota. I think that's one of the single best games that Adrian Martinez has ever played at Nebraska, was the win over Minnesota. And in that game, in 18, Nebraska dominated Minnesota. 19, Nebraska got picked apart by Minnesota. Minnesota identified weaknesses, out-coached Nebraska, outplayed them, and blitzed them up in the Twin Cities. Last year in Lincoln, day after a major snowfall, Minnesota out-toughed Nebraska. And it's still, to this day, a loss that you go, hmm? So Minnesota has some scoreboard on Nebraska. And Scott Frost, in the situation that he's in, he was good in Indianapolis. He said all the right things, didn't put stuff up for other teams to shoot at, but he's going to be a pinata until things get turned around. Well, Minnesota, current players and former players, have now, about a week later, have an issue with the head coach in Lincoln. And it goes back to the phrase that actually is a word, sloganeering. Remember when Scott was asked the question about, do you have a slogan for 2021? And he said, I played for a guy that was not into slogans. There were slogans that were used. So he said no to sloganeering. Well, Minnesota players, and this isn't fans, this isn't media, this is actual current players and some former players, thought that it was a slight at Minnesota. Frost went a couple of, what was it, PJ Fleck, Mike Locksley, and then Scott Frost. And they are taking issue with him saying that he is not into sloganeering, thinking that it was a direct slam on Minnesota, which that football program is built off of a slogan row the boat. Fair or foul. Just get ready. This stuff's going to be like this all season long. People are going to look for things. The head coach in Lincoln right now is a pinata for people outside of here. They're going to take shots at him, whether the way he looks, the way he talks, until things turn around. Just be prepared for it. But really, we're reaching for that kind of stuff. I mean, we had our say going, wait a minute. There were some slogans in the 90s that were really, really cool that guys embraced. Maybe didn't understand the question, but I don't think it was a slight at Minnesota because he has no place to take a slight at PJ Fleck. I just think that's the way you respond to the question. And Minnesota, if you want to use that as motivation or whatever the heck you're going to use and being upset at that response to the question, good on you, okay? You beat Nebraska two of the last 3 years. You get them at home this year. If that's what you need to get up for a game in the middle of October against a team that's in your own division, good. That's fine. It's talking season. That's basically what this is boiled down to. And in Minnesota, players and former players being upset at Scott Frost, who said no to sloganeering. And I'm guessing those former players and current players at Minnesota, before they either entered the program or they saw PJ Fleck win 11 games a couple years ago, they were not into sloganeering of their program either. All right, Scott Chandler is going to stop by in a little bit. We'll try and get Aaron Rodgers when he speaks. We'll carry some sound. What kind of a mood, George, do you think he'll be in?
A fantastic mood. A good one. He's out there with his friends again.
Before we get to Doug here, William says, are you out of your mind? Call your own foul and pickup ends up who can yell the loudest. Then you always get those, you know who I'm talking about, guys. If they miss a shot, it had to be a foul. They grab the ball and walk and yell till they get their way. And that's with nothing on the line. We always played first to 11-1. The funniest games were the ones where you let the other guys get up by 9 and then rip off 11 in a row and left them with their butts dragging. William is ruthless. We were talking about the U.S. women winning the 3-on-3 gold in Tokyo earlier today and how 3-on-3 can take off. Yeah, you got to adjust the rules.
A little bit.
Those are the rules that I would use. Call your own foul. Make it entertaining. But we have to do make it or take it.
Oh, yeah.
Make it, take it.
Oh, yeah. If it was make it, take it, oh, the U.S. would have just ran away with things. Just ran away. Nobody was guarding Big Mama stuff. No.
Man, in my head, I'm thinking for the three Division I programs in the state, red, blue, and black Nebraska, if you had to put together your best 3-on-3 team of all time, you can have five, but you got to designate three starters. Who would it be? Because you got to have a ball handler, you got to have a shooter, and I think you got to have a big man. You got to have somebody protect the paint. Somebody that's versatile to not only protect the paint, but step outside if need be and swat away three-point shots.
Versatility is super important in 3-on-3.
Here is Doug. Doug, thanks for the call. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Gary, how are you?
Good, Doug. How are you?
Good. Hey, I'd like to talk to you about the upcoming season. I'm really excited, and I think they're going to do better than what people think. I think they have the ability to win 8 to 9 games. And my prediction also is Wisconsin, they're going to either beat Wisconsin or Iowa. I think they're going to beat Iowa and Lincoln. And I would really like to see, I'd really like to see them. When it comes to Minnesota and Northwestern, you know, they're a good team. They're scrappy. They take after their head coach. But I would like to see Nebraska just beat the living hell out of both those teams. You know, I'm serious. Just embarrass the hell out of them. Just completely take control of the line of scrimmage, both sides of the ball, and just embarrass the hell out of them.
The Northwestern game, Doug, always seems to be close. So we might be more likely with the Minnesota game, but I'm guessing that if you had to beat one team badly, you would take Fleck over Fitzgerald.
Yeah, I would.
But you're right. We're together here, Doug, that if you're showing progress, you're beating Purdue and Illinois, and then you are finding a way to beat teams that are in that middle tier with you, with Northwestern and Minnesota, and then knock off one of the big two in your own division, Wisconsin or Iowa. If you can do those this year, especially the last part, get either a Wisconsin or an Iowa, then I think that is a sign of progress because it's been a while since you beat either one. Doug, thanks for the phone call. Win games that you're supposed to. Toss-up games. Win 3 of 4. And the games that you are an underdog, find a way to win one. We'll have plenty of time over the next 4 weeks before the season starts, and then we have actual substance to talk about and how the game is played and what it looks like. But if you're preaching progress, you're 3-0, and you're 4-1 when you get Northwestern, Michigan, Minnesota in 3 straight weeks of football before you go on a bye week. And if you get to 4-1 and you come home to play a night game against Northwestern, it's homecoming, could have a sell it as a good recruiting weekend. Means you're 2-0 in your conference. You've won 2 road games, which would be half of the number of road games that you've won in the previous 3 years. Benchmarks to sell progress. That's a great place to start, being 4-1 with 2 months of football to go and back-to-back games against Northwestern and Michigan. And then to top it off, you go to Minnesota against a team that's beat you the last 2 years and essentially with a full squad and then half a squad have out-toughed you. And who knows what happens after that. All right, 11:19. Scott Chandler joins the bottom of the hour. We'll talk about the NFL. Also get his thoughts on Texas and Oklahoma going to the SEC. What does that do in the state of Texas for Nebraska in recruiting and other things? And what does that do for college athletics? Plus, as Scott being a Nebraska guy living in the state of Texas, I'm having a hard time because yesterday was all of a sudden the Texas people came out of the woodwork again. Is there a more delusional fan base than Texas? National radio show, I heard an individual call from the state of Texas yesterday, Austin, so right there in the heart of UT, and said the road to the SEC goes through Austin. Listen here, cowboy. The road to the Big 12 has only gone through Austin 3 times in the last 25 years. So you are going to get what is coming. The country club rep going to the SEC, I hope the doors get blown off. Perception and reality somehow don't matter at Texas. The perception is Texas has been a really good football program. Mack Brown hasn't been there for a while. We all know the numbers. Since 09, Texas has one more win than Nebraska. Perception, reality. Look at Nebraska, perception, reality. Texas, perception, reality. But the more I think about 5 different teams out of the Big 12 have won the conference championship since Texas did in 09, does winning matter at Texas? Texas is flush with cash. Does winning matter at Texas? You can play the argument of, oh, well, look if they win. Well, they're not winning and they're flush in cash and they're still a brand. Man, it actually might work against them if Texas football was successful. They're mediocre and they're still making money. And they've got a delusional fan base who, it's time. Now, because of the brand and because of the money, they'll get a seat. They're not walking into the SEC and taking over. Just put that test. Turn to your friend and go, perception versus reality. Nebraska compared to Texas. Where are they? Back with more after this on the Gary Sharp Show on 1620 The Zone.